use Scripture for all sorts of things, don't we? And we use it as a prism by which to interpret our own lives, a way of understanding God and ourselves and our relationships. And what we try to do in the liturgy is to unpack these readings and look at them and see what is there for us. What are they saying to us? What are they revealing to us? And for this second Sunday of Lent, we are presented with this very familiar gospel of the Transfiguration. And it's an often misunderstood one, because it's rather dramatic, it's rather otherworldly. We have Jesus and his favorite disciples on the mountain, and suddenly they get a taste of the glory. They get a taste of what this really could be like. It's all the bells and whistles suddenly going off, and they're caught up in it. And Peter, ever astute, says, "Hey, let's stay here. I like this. Let's build some tents and hang out. You and your friends, and we can stay too." And Jesus says, "Well, we really have to go down the mountain, though. And don't tell anybody until I'm crucified and I rise again." We really love the mountaintop experiences, don't we? We love the bells and whistles. We love the first flush of love, when everything is possible, when we see only the other person, and we know it can last forever, and we'll never grow tired of them. And then we come down from the mountain, and life is lived on the plain. But we prefer the mountain. Even with our work and our careers, a lot of times in the beginning, we're really excited about it. We're hyped up about it. We could do this the rest of our lives. It's the mountaintop experience. And then we come down and life on the plain doesn't seem quite as enticing. And so this gospel is a real challenge to us of how do we live life on the plain? Because the mountaintop experiences are very rare, aren't they? Most of our life is in the ordinariness of the plain. And so I thought it might be helpful this evening for this second Sunday to share with you five spiritual truths of living life on the plain, and truths taken from the Scripture and our tradition that might facilitate this living of life on the plain. And the first one is this: life is hard. Life is hard. Now, I don't think I have to tell most of you here this evening that, because you live it and you know that life is hard. Struggles in your relationships, people get sick, people die. I mean, look at Japan right now. Look at the tragedy that befalls us in our world. You don't have to go far to see that life is hard. And yet it's always interesting because it surprises us when it is. Because somehow we expect it won't be. We buy the notion that if we play by the rules and we do what we're supposed to do, then we're going to get rewarded for it. And that life will be easy. And that we'll be able to stay on the mountaintop. Except the reality of life is that it's about passion, death, and resurrection. We want to skip over the first two, but life on the plain is full of the first two. The second spiritual truth: you are going to die. I hate to have to tell you this, but you are going to die. And I know you sit there and you think, well, gee, thanks, but I know that. But do we really know it? Do we live life with the awareness of the fragility of life, the tentative nature of life, the utter quickness with which it passes? Because really, we think the mountaintop experience of life, simply to be alive, lasts forever. I mean, how many of you, when you came to church this evening, left your homes and your affairs in such a way that it really doesn't matter if you got back there or not, that you're ready? I mean, you could walk out the church doors this evening and you could drop dead. Now, I hope you don't, but it's not up to us. And the spiritual truth that we're going to die isn't meant to depress us, it's meant to inform how we live. It means savor each moment. Know what it is you have and the gift it is, because it is fleeting and it does pass. And so too do the mountaintop experiences. The third spiritual truth: you are not that important. I hate to have to tell you this one too. You are not that important. Now, what do I mean by this? I have a nephew, Jack. Jack is now 12 years old. And for much of Jack's life thus far, Jack has acted and believed that he is the most important person in the universe. Now, unfortunately, I have a brother and sister-in-law who seem to reinforce this notion. Now, I suppose it is okay when you are 12 years old to think and act that way. The problem is when you're 62 and you still act that way. Does the name Donald Trump ring a bell? Well, guess what? You're not that important. When you're gone, people will get over you. Life will go on. And it doesn't mean you're not special. It doesn't mean you're not created out of love. It means that in the greatest scheme of things, in this vast universe, in these millions of years and billions of people, you're relatively insignificant. And when in humility you accept that status, that life is not lived on the mountaintop, but on the plain, you live differently. You live from a different place. The fourth spiritual truth: you are not in control. You are not in control. Now, we don't like this one, because we like being in control, don't we? We like controlling not only our lives, but the lives of everybody around us. And then life happens, and we realize how little of it we actually do control. Some of you know that one of my ministries, I suppose it's not so much a ministry as a job, is I work for ABC News doing religion stories. And I happened to be in the newsroom the day that the plane ditched into the Hudson River. And one of the producers asked me and another person to go down to the river and try to interview people who were being rescued from the plane. And so we got down to the Hudson. The studio is not far from the river. And they were taking some people off. And this one guy was getting onto the bus. And I said to him, "Can you tell me what you were thinking and feeling when you knew that this plane was going to crash into the river?" And he said, "I realized that I could control none of it. That was totally out of my hands. It was maybe in God's hands, maybe that pilot's hands, but certainly not mine." And then he looked at me and he said, "And you know, I think most of life is probably that way too." It was this rather profound moment of insight, of just having had this experience of being able to connect it, that he wasn't in control. And none of us really are. Those in 12-step programs will tell you, what's the first step? Admit you're powerless. Because until you do, you can go no further in that spiritual program. God is able, I'm not. And the fifth and final spiritual truth of life on the plane is this: your life is not about you. Your life is not about you. And you may say, "Well, then who is it about? And I would suggest to you that the scripture says it's about everyone and everything else except you. That if there's any truth the scripture reveals, it's that we're not created for ourselves. It's all about being missioned. It's all about being sent. The experience of the mountaintop of the transfiguration is so the disciples have a foretaste of the glory that they, yes, will impart, but first they have to live among the people and share the word that is the Christ. It's not about them. It's not about building tents and holding on to it. It's not about savoring the moment for ourselves. It's about making sure that everybody else also gets to savor it too. And when you live from that perspective, you live from a different place. So what I think I found the scripture saying this week is that, yeah, I too, a lot of times, prefer the mountaintop experiences instead. And I was thinking of Martin Luther King Jr. with that wonderful speech, you know, I've been to the mountaintop. And probably giving that speech was a mountaintop experience for him. But he comes down from that mountaintop and he is shot dead. The reality, sometimes the unfortunate reality of life on the plain. And Jesus' admonition is, there will be suffering. There will be death. That is part of the ordinariness of life on the plain, but it's not the final word. And I give you this experience so that you can hold on to it as a foretaste of your life too. And finally, there's one story that I was thinking of that said this to me, and I'm not sure quite why, but I was speaking to my father this week. And my father is now retired in Florida, but he was a New York City fireman and then later a fire marshal, which meant basically that he, you know, had to arrest arsonists. He was the detective for the fire department. And we lived in Brooklyn, and I was coming down Flatlands Avenue one day, and I am passing a coffee shop that my family often frequented, and I see this car outside with a mother and two kids, and I guess I was about 13 years old or so. And I look in the window of the coffee shop, and I see my father seated at a table with a guy that I'd never seen before. And so I decide I'm gonna go in and say hello to my dad. And I walk in, and as I walk in, this guy gets up from the table and walks out past me to that car. And I went in and I sat down and I said, hey dad, who was that? And my father kind of looked at his shoes. And I said, dad, who was that? And he still didn't answer me. But I mean, I was like a dog with a bone. And I said, dad, who was that? And he finally looked up at me and he said, well, it's someone I have to arrest at 3 o'clock. I said, what? I mean, this is doing serious damage to my Magnum PI image of my father, you know, breaking down the door and slamming the cuffs on somebody. And I said very sarcastically, hey, dad, I hate to tell you, but you had him. He was here. And my father looked at me and he said, Edward, what did you want me to do? Arrest the guy in front of his wife and kids? And the response that day of my father revealed something to me. I really did want the breaking down the door and the slamming the cuffs on somebody. I wanted the razzmatazz of the mountaintop. But my father taught me a deeper truth, a truth about compassion, a truth about understanding, a truth about the ordinariness of life of a husband and his wife and their kids and the respect you have for that. We can do that for each other. We can help each other along life on the plain. And don't forget that the mountaintop experiences, they're there, but they are oh so rare. Let's support one another on this journey on the plain.